speak to our hearts, and that we will be transformed to live and act according to this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, Christian friends. Good morning, Christian friends. Yesterday, I was at the church with Pastor Badisiri, and then he told me that a lot of us will not be coming to service today. The service will be in the hands of you and Brother Mohindo. He said, so, since we've been calling you Pastor, Reverend, and everything, tomorrow you will be the Reverend. Well, I did not expect for me to even start the service because the person who was supposed to start also, I think, she went on the other side. But in my country, most times, the person who preaches actually conducts the service. So I'm used to that. So the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered in His name, He will always be in our midst. So God is not a person that walks with crowd. As long as there are two or three people that call His name, He will always be there, and that is for to bless us. Amen? So as we open our hearts for the Word of God this morning, I would like you to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 4 to 10. Romans 12, 4 to 10. But before we read, if you are somebody who take notes during services, we are talking on the topic today of serving God together in love. Serving God together in love. If you're somebody who take notes, I want you to underline the word together and love. Those are the key features in this text. Serving God together in love. Sometime in 2003, I enlisted into an organization who were in their embryonic stage trying to build up. So we went to this management meeting, and all the heads of departments were arguing which department is the most important. So the head of finance said, oh, I am finance. I have the money to give you everything you want. And the head of engineer said, well, I am the chief of engineer. I build all these structures for you to sit in to do your work. And the chief of IT and communication says, without my technology, you ain't going anywhere. You can't do anything. You can't process anything. And then all other heads were arguing, oh, I'm the boss, oh, I'm the boss. And the chief of general services and management, camp management, the chief of the camp management, he picked up his bags, picked up all his documents, and started walking outside. So everybody was shocked, like he was leaving the meeting. And then they said, where are you going? And he looked at them and said, I am going to tell all my cleaners not to clean the toilet for 1 week. And that's how the meeting ended. So, yeah, you're free to laugh. You can laugh. So we see from that narration that we have to work together for a common goal, for common achievement. In every organization we find ourselves, we need to work together so that we can achieve our common goal. So let's go to the text now. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, right? Because it explains more. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 10. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowment, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating. Sorry. I'm reading the second one. I should read from Corinthians. From Romans, I was reading the second lesson. We'll get to that one. Good. Romans 12, 4 to 10. Romans 12, 4 to 10. Yeah. For as in one physical body, we have many parts, organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually, we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. He who has gifts of prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give service to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Verse 9. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Amen. Those are the words in the Amplified Version. So, from the text, if we look, there's a picture of the human body. If we look at the body, this body, let's take mine as an example. You saw that picture there. That's our body. Now, according to statistics, according to researchers, they said these fingers, there are 54 bones in these fingers. Now, I can use those 54 fingers to play piano, to play the guitar. Brother Emery, who is there, can type. I'll see our conductor in the Morning Star. He can use all those fingers to actually conduct the choir. In my body, there are 60,000 miles of blood vessels. These work every day. They never take a break. The blood just keeps flowing through them moment after moment, day after day. And these blood vessels are controlled by one single pump, which is somewhere here, which is called the what? The heart. Now, this heart, it beats 30 million times a year. A minimum of 30 million times a year. That's incredible. And that means it's 60 beats per minute without resting. Of course, you don't want your heart to take a lunch break, you know? So imagine, when you go to the gym or when you're running, it beats faster. That's a normal 60 beats per minute. But when you're doing physical exercises, it pumps faster. So you can imagine. Now, these hands, the studies say that there are 4 yards of nerve fibers. And out of those, there are 13,000 nerve cells, 100 sweat glands, 3 million cells. The study also shows that in my brain, in our brain, it generates more electrical impulses than all of the telephones combined in the world. That's incredible. And also, our feet, it has 250,000 sweat glands. My scalp has 100,000 sweat glands. Well, give or take, if you are bald, you still have it anyway, but still, it still produces a tendency to grow hair. So what you are looking at, the liver, it has 500 different functions. So what you are looking at is God's masterpiece. The masterpiece of creation that we were made out of dust. But one thing is certain. All of these functions in the body cannot do it in isolation. And if you turn to Corinthians, the one which I was starting to read, that's what it tries to explain to you. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. That we're not going to read all of it. We're just going to read some parts of it. 1 Corinthians 12. We can read the. For the body is, go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12. Start from verse. Hold on a second. Verse 4. For as the body is one members, for as there are different diversity gifts, but of the same spirit. That's what I want to draw your attention to. Now, how many of you here are relatives? How many of you here are relatives? Look around. How many of you here are relatives? Not many. But I want to tell you that we are all relatives. Why? We may come from different background. We may come from different origin. We may be white, we may be black. Brother Emery, put the picture of the color of the hands. Brother Emery, please put the picture of the color of the hands. We may come from different backgrounds, but we are all relatives. Why? Because we all share a blood covenant under Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? We are all relatives because we all share one blood covenant. We are all under the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. So without one another, we are not able to survive. We are not able to succeed. So as Christians, as believers, we have to take into cognizance of this fact. That in everything that matters in life, we have to build it. Everything that matters in life, we have to build it. And we have to build it with what? How? Say it. Together. Say it. Let's say it. Together. We have to build what? Together. In everything, if it's a business, you have to build it. And how are you going to build it? Together. Please, stay with me. If it's a marriage, you have to build it what? Together. Everything in life has to be built together. But the problem is, we've so much relied on these microwave relationships. You know what that means, right? Just put it in the microwave. Bam, it's done. Microwave relationships. Instead of focusing on working together to achieve our goal, working together to build from its foundations. Because when you put a plant, when you plant a seed on the ground, what happens? Does it just grow up like that? It goes down first. What? Because it needs the roots. The roots hold it together. So that's what we have to do. Build it. Build it together. Because it's only a group of people that can turn into a church. It's only a boy that can turn into a man. It's only a man that can turn into a husband. It's only a girlfriend that can turn into a wife. It's only a wedding that can turn into a what? Into a marriage. Build it together. Turn to the next person and say, build it together. Say, build it together. Build it together. It's only those things that can turn, that we can build together. But as I said, sadly, we always try to do things on our own. It's me, myself, and I. Me. It's either my own way or the highway. You see, I've discovered something over the years. I love teaching. But I've learned that I grow when I teach. Right? I'll give you an example. When I was in university doing computer science, there's something that they taught us. For those computer geeks, you will know what I'm saying. MS-DOS. You know what that means? MS-DOS. Some kind of black screen. Then all you do is just type codes. I tell you what. I crammed and passed because I didn't understand anything the lecturer was saying. It was all gibberish to me. Crammed and passed. But after I passed, when I started teaching, that's when I understood all those gibberish that they were teaching me. It never made sense. But the moment I started teaching, when I started reading and I started teaching, then it started making sense. And I can assure you, I think I delivered more than my lecturer to my students. Yeah. Because I learned. And that's how it is. In the choir, it's the same thing. You will be surprised that when we stand in front of the choir, most of the time, we're like, when I go back home and I'm teaching, when I was in Uganda and I was practicing the choir, and somebody will make one mistake and they will say like, hey, brother, how did you pick that out? It's by teaching. Teaching. When you're playing the organ, I can hear all four parts. You make one mistake, I can pick it up. Teaching. They don't teach you that in school, but as you grow, when you pass on. In fact, isn't that what the Bible says? The more you give, what happens? The more you receive. Say that together. The more you give, the more you receive. So, in a teamwork, there is no I. It's T-E-A-M. There is no I. So let us forget about it's me, me, me. Remember something. The Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a very, very interesting scripture. Why I actually mention that is the fact that, say, even though you are like twins, you are born of like twin, you can be identical, but you never have the same gifts. We all have our different gifts. God made us in such a way that everybody is different and everybody is entrusted with his or her own gift. And we must use those gifts in the body of Christ. Because why? The church represents the body of Christ. So as it's written in Corinthians, the eye cannot say, I am the body. The hand cannot say, I am the body. Every single function of the body have to work together. If you are in the choir, you can be gifted with playing the piano, playing the guitar, and singing. But can you play the piano, guitar, and conduct at the same time? No. You have to give other people chance, encourage other people to actually grow in the love. So we work together to achieve our common goal. We work together to achieve. So, you know, as I say, uniquely, twins, I'm one of them. But my twin partner is a woman, so we cannot say identical. But I've seen a masterpiece. Growing up, we had two girls in our neighborhood. They were identical twins. One is beautiful. And the other, well, not so, let's say not so beautiful. I wouldn't want to use the U word, right? But it was so endemic in them that you will walk on the street and you see like, wow, how can God create two people so alike, but yet there's a significant difference in appearance? They all had it. But I tell you, they were always together because they realized that the one who was not so needed the one who is so that they can push together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, some people are blessed with encouragement. Some people are just naturally gifted in encouraging people. I told Brother Moindo the other day, sometime in May, in August, I was in the UK, and I went to this church in Forest Gate. It's called ARC, a radical church, ARC. And after the minister had actually preached, this church is actually founded. The founder of the church is a convict, an ex-convict. He got his conviction when he was in prison, and he came out and he formed a church. So his ministry is actually reaching out to people who have given up. And what struck me when I went to that church is after the pastor had preached, after one of the pastors had preached and made an altar call and everybody came forward, this is what struck me. People came forward crying. People came forward kneeling down on the altar. But that's not the point. The people who are the counselors, they didn't just come and say, we stretch our hands and prayed for them. No. The one who was kneeling at the altar, there was somebody who went there and knelt with him, put his arm around his shoulder and knelt with him. The one who was crying, there was somebody who embraced him and they cried together. This is the encouragement. So you can see how the church is growing. Because who would not want to worship in such kind of environment where you are you are actually welcome, you are actually embraced? Because I recognize something, that they are using what God has given them to reach out. That's their own ministry. And this is something that we must encourage. But the key ingredient in the building process is the four-letter word. What is that? I told you to underline it. L-O-V-E. Love. During the building process, when you're working together, it's only through the needle of love that you can look past people's failures. In marriages, it's only through the needle of love that you can look past when your wife or when your husband irritates the last nerve in your skin. It's only the needle of love. It's only through the needle of love that when your children play truants, that you can be able to train them, discipline, even though you discipline them, but you still love them. So you ask yourself this question: how much more did God love me so much that He decides to look past all of my failures? He decides to look past all of my tribulation, even though we hate each other, even though we backbite, but yet He looked on earth and said, I am going to send my Son, Jesus, to save you. How much more love can we measure that Jesus Himself gave Himself up? He was beaten. He was wounded. He was chastised. He was shamed just because so we could not go through those. He took it upon Himself to go through all those tribulations so that we will not have to face condemnation and death. That is what love is all about. So even in the process of building, if you don't have that element of love, you cannot be able to, because you become frustrated. If you are teaching and your students don't get it, you become frustrated. I remember sometime back home, one of my choir colleagues told me one day that he left the choir because the people were not choir materials. You know what that means when they say you are not choir material? If I give you A to sing, you start with F. They put all everywhere. They will go and they'll play the introduce the hymn, and then when they're ready to sing, they are at what is it? In Niragongo, we are down Lake Kivu. That's how. So he got frustrated and said, "I left because they are not choir materials." But only through the eyes of love that you will have that patience. Only love can give you that patience to deal with those things. Even those teachers who teach infant children, it's through the eyes of love that they can be able to. Because who else can you actually be difficult to teach than infants? My mother was an infant teacher, so I know. I know what it means. And because you have to be so careful, because as little toddlers, whatever they pick when they are that young, it will stay with them forever because they will never forget it. So you have to be patient with them. You have to love them. So it's through all those needles of love that we have to be able to build together. But, a big but, you have to recognize something. Every Christian, if you don't take this, every time I preach, I mention this. Because I've realized if we don't take this seriously, we leave ourselves open to temptation. We leave ourselves open for the wiles of the devil. Every Christian has to be John 10:10 cognizance. You know what John 10:10 is? The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Everywhere God shows up, Satan is not very far away. Everywhere love shows up, hate is not very far away. In fact, there's a line which says there's a thin line between love and hate. Just look at marriage, at couples. When they are getting married, you see how they and then something happens. You will not believe that these are the people who we are, a few years ago, were like this together. And now they are on each other's throats. It's only a thin line that separates them. Because every Christian, we got to realize, wherever there is love, wherever love shows up, hate is always. Even in a group, take the apostles. All of them love Jesus except one person. Everywhere in the group, any organization, where there is love, you see there will be one person that the devil will infiltrate. So as Christians, we have to recognize you have to be Gem 10:10 cognizance. Everywhere you go, otherwise you will leave yourself vulnerable. Now, in the gift that God has given us, not every Christian uses the gift wisely. That's certain, as I said. Not everybody will use it wisely. Some people use the gift the wrong way. Some people, if you have to prophesy, I've seen men of God prophesy, and yet they make boast that it is of their own doing. I mean, I'm sure we all heard about this. One well-renowned pastor in Nigeria who prophesied that Hillary Clinton will win the elections. Did you hear about that? He prophesied publicly. I saw the video that Hillary Clinton will win the U.S. elections. And Hillary did not win, and the next minute they deleted it from the video of the website. I've seen people who can sing in the church, but yet they are ashamed to come before the altar of God and praise their name, praise His name. I've seen people, even yesterday, I saw a video on social media, a group of girls holding stones in their hands, doing like this behind the wall. What are they doing? They are waiting for their pastor who prophesied that they will get married this year. And the year is almost over. If you are a counselor and somebody comes to confide in you for advice, do not go and post it on social media the next minute. Things like this happen in the church, sadly. One brother asked me last week, say, where do you get all your stories from? I laughed. Well, I'm going to give one more before I leave. Three pastors, they went to a healing counseling conference because they had addictions. Some, even though they were pastors, there was something they were doing that was not right in the sight of God. So they went through the confession. And the first one said, me, my problem is I can't keep my hands off the offertory. Every time after the offertory has been prayed, when we go to the, I always pick some and put it in my pocket. And the other one said, well, me, my problem is I like women too much. So I can't keep my eyes off the female in the church. Even though I know their husbands, but I still cannot control my eyes. I have to look. The spirit of lust is so much in me. And then the third one was like this. So they were like, so what's your own addiction? He said, me, I just can't keep my mouth shut. So he has to, whatever you tell him, he will have to talk. So even that guy had an addiction. You know what happens the next, because his own addiction is he cannot keep his mouth shut. Whatever he hears, he will talk. Yeah. So if you are a counselor, somebody comes to confide in you, Siggy, don't go and say, hey, you know, brother, No. We have been entrusted with gifts. Let us use it together to build the church, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 reminds us how to use our spiritual gift. It says, our spiritual gift does not belong to us. We have to use them for the purpose that it has been created and given to us. Our spiritual gift. Use it together. Use it. Everybody comes with their different talents. Everybody comes with their different gifts. Put it together and see how the work of God goes. So in the spirit of love, be devoted to one another with authenticity, brotherly affection as members of one family. Before I close, I don't know if you've seen the movie. It's called The Incredibles. It's a cartoon. It's Incredibles. It's a family of superheroes, superpowers. The husband is Mr. Strength. He can throw anything. He has an enormous amount of strength. And the wife is Elastic Girl. She can stretch. In fact, if she makes her hand like this, it will reach far to that wall on the other side. She can actually stretch. And the first daughter, Violet, she has powers of prism. Like if you all come close to Violet, she can make something and all of you will be protected by a beam. Anything that comes to hit you, she will protect you. And then the youngest, Dash, he can run. His Dash is not called Dash for nothing. He can dash. By the time you want to say Dash, he's out there. He can run. And then they had a baby. He had all kinds of powers. But the important thing is, when the husband got involved in some terrible affair, and the family did not know about it, and they went in search looking for their father. And then they found their father in prison and took him out. And they had to face all these bad guys. When this family put all their strength together, you should watch that movie because it's inexplainable. See, Brother Mwindo is laughing because he's seen it. At one point, the father was so proud of what he was seeing, and then he said, I love my family. So, as a body of Christ, why not us all put our resources together so God in heaven can sit there and say, oh, I love my children. This is what, I mean, this is my quest to you this morning. Put all your things together. I urge you, Christian friends, encourage one another. Be at peace with one another. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient to everyone. Avoid an eye for an eye, but follow that which is good. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, he says, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fields. You are God's building. Keep it together. Amen.
Let's clap to our God again.